The glory of God was manifested in the earth by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Join Kenneth Copeland and special guest Rick Renner as they recount from Scripture the events surrounding the triumphant victory when Jesus declared, "It is finished."
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Father, we thank you today. Oh, my. Our eyes are being opened. Our hearts are being filled with what you did on the cross, Lord Jesus. And, oh, Father, what you did and how you did it. And we are so grateful. We worship you and thank you for it.
Yes, we do.
Thank you for giving and showing these things to Brother Rick. And thank you for sending him to us to teach us and show it to us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Rick, let's get right back in there, sir.
All right. Well, this is the last day of our broadcast on...
Oh, hang on a second. This is Friday. Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. We know that.
We do.
It was a high Sabbath. It started on Wednesday, not Friday. We're coming up here today. Jesus said that he would be in hell itself for 3 days and three nights. He specifically said that. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday. Jesus has been in hell now, suffering the death of all mankind, all sin, all sickness, all disease for Adam's treason for the last couple of days. Now, that's where we are right now. Amen.
It is.
That's where we are right now.
You know, Brother Copeland, you pointed out something very interesting in the break about Psalm 22.
Yes.
The Psalm 22 is the prophetic scripture, of course, about the crucifixion, but it ends by saying, "It is finished."
It's finished.
And those were the last words which Jesus said when he was on the cross. And we see that in John chapter 19 and verse 30, where Jesus therefore received the vinegar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, that vinegar was like a painkiller. It was given to a victim just as they died. And he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Well, "it is finished," those three words in the English language is one word in Greek, and it is the word tetelestai. And the word tetelestai means to bring to completion, to bring to a conclusion, to complete, to accomplish, to fulfill, or to finish. One scholar notes it's anything that has reached completion, maturity, or perfection. And there are a lot of nuances to this word, but there are four primary nuances which are important in the context of Jesus crying out, "It is finished." And by the way, another gospel says he shouted it out.
Oh, yeah.
He cried out.
With a loud voice.
With a loud voice.
Now, think about that, Doc. How can you shout with a loud voice after all this? Couldn't have been a natural voice. No way. It took the anointing of Almighty God. He was separating himself. He breached the union between he and his Father by faith. He had to take it by faith. He had to take that sin by faith. He didn't commit it. He had to take it by faith. He had to take the stripes. He had to take all that. And by faith, he had to breach the union between he and his Father in order to become obedient to death. Couldn't have died without it. Oh, my.
Well, that word "finished" is the Greek word tetelestai. And I want to give you the four meanings of this word. And I believe, Brother Copeland, you're going to have a lot to say about this. First, just as we've seen, tetelestai was Jesus' exclamation that he had finished the work the Father sent him to do. He was finished. It could literally be tetelestai. I've done exactly what you requested. The mission is now accomplished. Secondly, this word tetelestai, and this is very interesting to me, is the equivalent of the Hebrew word spoken by the high priest when he presented a sacrificial lamb without spot or blemish. Annually, the high priest entered the Holy of Holies, we know that, where he poured the blood of that sacrificial spotless lamb on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Mm-hmm. And that moment, the mercy seat, atonement was made for the people's sins for one more year. And once again, the high priest went into the veil to sacrifice blood again. But when Jesus hung on the cross, and this is amazing to me, when Jesus hung on the cross, he was simultaneously lamb and high priest. He was both. And in that moment, as our great high priest, he offered his own blood for the permanent removal of sin. He offered the perfect sacrifice of which every Mosaic sacrifice was a type and a symbol. And in that instant, there remained no more need for the offering of sin. So when Jesus called out and said, tetelestai, it is finished, he was declaring the end of sacrifices because the ultimate sacrifice had finally been made. It meant mission accomplished, finished forever. No more sacrifices. Praise God. Number three, the word tetelestai, it is finished, was used in the business world to describe the full payment of debt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I love this, Brother Copeland. When a debt had been fully paid off, the parchment on which the debt was recorded was stamped with a stamp that said tetelestai, bam, which meant the debt had been paid in full. This means once a person calls Jesus the Lord of his life and accepts the sacrifice, no debt of sin exists for that person any longer. The debt is wiped out because Jesus paid the price for sin that no sinner could ever pay, and we are permanently freed of any obligation to anything which we did in the past. Jesus has stamped it, tetelestai, paid in full.
That is just so over the top. Whoa. And think about that. That was involved in when a sentence was nailed up on a prison door. This man is sentenced to 15 years, nailed on his door. At the end of the time, that's what they put on that parchment that was on his door.
Tetelestai.
He paid the price.
He didn't ever have to pay for this one again.
No, that crime's paid for. Well, hey, this was nailed to the cross. Second chapter of the book of Colossians. The note against us. What note? The prison note. The sentence, the indictment, the trial, the conviction, all of it. The
nailed it to his cross.
Nailed it to his cross, man. It's finished.
Blotting
it's
out the handwriting of ordinances, man, that were against,
yeah,
us.
Yeah, it not only nailed up there and finished it, but the ink gone. Whoa, the ink is gone. That piece of paper hanging on my door just went whoop, and it went blank. Man, you done preach me happy, Doc. I'll tell you, this is what's so big about this.
Well, there's one more thing, and that's the fourth meaning of the word tetelestai. In classical Greek times, it depicted, now listen to this, the turning point.
Yeah, I did.
The turning point when one period ended and another period begins. Began. So when Jesus exclaimed, it is finished, it was the turning point in the entire history of mankind. For at that moment, the Old Testament came to an end, finished and closed, and the new covenant began. And the cross became the great divide.
Yes, it did.
In human history.
Yes, it did.
It was the turning point.
That's the rightly dividing of the truth right there. Now, what he had to do, he still had 3 days and nights to go through. That's not what he was referring to when he said it's finished. You just explain what he was referring to when he said it's finished. But now hell has got to be dealt with, because hell was not created for men. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. That had to be changed. Not only did that have to be changed, Jesus said, no man has gone up to heaven. Now, let's bracket in the, no man hath died and gone up into heaven. We know that two have, Elijah and Enoch. We know that they went, but they hadn't died.
But they will.
They will, yeah. But at that time, when Jesus said that, they hadn't. Now, heaven, God deemed heaven not fit for men. Because you see it in the book of Hebrews, the heavenly utensils of worship had to be cleansed with Jesus' blood. So that's part of that 3 days.
Wow.
Now, when he went into the bottomless pit. He went to the bottom of the pit. No other human but him could go there. No other human has sinned every sin that there is, and every curse and every sickness and every disease. Jesus didn't sin. Jesus had never been sick. Jesus received all this by faith, and when he breached that union between he and his Father by faith, it is finished.
I said Jesus was like a sponge. If a sponge could soak up all the moisture
all of
the whole planet, Jesus became...
All of it.
He took all of it.
All of it.
All of it.
And he suffered as if he had sinned every sin that ever existed, and he had every disease that ever existed all at once, and went into the very bowels of the earth, and he suffered that thing there. But now when he said, it is finished, he spoke by faith the words that God would use, and in 3 days he said, it is finished. That's when he was made alive in the Spirit, glory to God, and he, in great combat, took the keys of hell. One born-again man defeated every wicked spirit, every demon, everything arrayed against him. He shook them off, and a born-up little emaciated, twisted, sick, sin-filled spirit that we saw a shadow of when, right before he died on the cross. Then a word of God hit him, and the scripture said, and again he'll be my son, and again I call him God. God, Rick. And he came up out of the first born-again man from sin to righteousness. Whoa! And he defeated hell.
And defeated mortal death.
Oh, he abolished it, is what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. Jesus Christ abolished death. You have no fear of death. You laugh and spit in the devil's face. You cannot threaten me with death. You can't kill a dead man. Glory to God. And then he spoiled principalities and powers, and to the victor goes the spoils.
Can you imagine, Brother Copeland, when he came back up into that grave and that life came flooding into that mortal body?
No, you really can't imagine it. You just have to try.
the glory, the power, as life came flooding into that death and Jesus.
Oh.
I've tried to imagine that. That just, it's the miracle of the resurrection.
Oh, yeah.
Which is beyond what we're talking about.
Now, he was just, he was, his body, Rick, Ephesians 5:30 says we're bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh. We have right now today, we have right and spiritual DNA to his resurrected bones and flesh.
Right here.
Yes, sir. Such healing power.
The spirit of him that raised
Jesus.
He just
stepped, yeah.
Dwells in us, gives life to our mortal flesh.
He stepped out of there and there was little Mary. And he said, don't handle me, baby. Don't touch me now. I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. What was happening? He's going to present himself. This is the reason the book of Hebrews is so powerful. He's going to present himself spotless before the very throne of God. And he ministered as high priest, his blood on the heavenly utensils of worship, and cleansed heaven for all eternity. Glory to God. And then he came back for 6 weeks and talked to folks, walked through the wall, sat down and ate, and said, handle me. A spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. Yeah, glory. Amen. Isn't it marvelous?
It is wonderful.
Isn't it marvelous? Oh, the story has never yet been told, Rick. Oh, men will preach on it for 1,000,000 years and can't get it all said.
So how should people celebrate on this resurrection day?
With everything you've got. I mean, you need to sow financial seed. You need to go to church. You need to be shouting to people, my God, I'm bone of his bone. I'm life of his life. Hallelujah. For the great God dwells in me that dwells in him. I've been made joint heir with him. Let's go to the book of Hebrews.
Let's go there.
My. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 1. Remember now, Romans 8 says, we are joint heirs, sons of God, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Look at this. God, who at sundry time and in different manner spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things. When Jesus came before that throne and laid his blood on the heavenly mercy seat and cleansed the heavenly utensils of worship, God declared death over forever. Glory to God. And appointed his scepter at him and called him God and called him the Son of God. Hallelujah. Let all the angels bow down and worship him. We'll see it here in just a minute. But look at this. He appointed him heir of all things. Hey, all things. The scripture says that he is heir of the stars. He's heir of this planet. When Satan told Jesus, bow down before me and I'll give you all the kingdoms and the glory therein. He said, they're mine. They've been given to me and I give them to whomsoever I will. Adam did that. Satan broke that and he took his keys from him, all of his authority in hell itself. He ripped him helpless. He left him with nothing. Glory to God. Jesus got the Garden of Eden back, praise God. He owns this planet, Rick, and we're his joint heirs.
And owns everything in it.
Everything in it, and that means we are sitting with him in heavenly places in authority over this planet in his powerful name and in his blood.
Praise God.
Oh, Rick, this is the gospel, man. The curse is over. Doesn't have any authority anymore. All you have to do is stand against it on the word of this new covenant. Now, here it is. Here's what God said. who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, come right down. Under which, verse 5, under which of the angels said he at any time, you're my son, this day have I begotten thee? Wait a minute. What do you mean, begotten him? Rick, when Jesus was born in a manger, that's not when God begat him. He'd always eternally been the Son of God. When was he born of God? In hell. Again, he said, I'll be a father to him, he'll be my son. This day have I begotten him. Well, there was a day when he begat me.
And me.
And you, glory to God. And we have elder son standing. I know we're out of time, but I must say this. Unto the Son, now the Son was in hell, suffering there for Adam's high treason. In verse 8, to the Son he said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You loved righteousness, hated iniquity. Therefore God, even your God, hath anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And you, Lord, in the beginning, and laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They'll perish, but you remain. They'll wax old as does a garment, and as a vesture shall you fold them up and be changed. You are for you are the same, and your years shall not fail. Those are the words that raised him from the dead.
Wow.
Oh, these are the words that have declared our sonship.
Now, that's a message I'd like to hear preached on Sunday.
Oh, praise God. We're out of time. I'll be back in a minute.
I was just your average blue-collar worker. In the natural, I'm living the American dream. I'm 22 years old, and I own my own business. I have a beautiful wife. I have a new home. I have two beautiful daughters. You know, I should have been the happiest man on the planet, but I was miserable on the inside, even though I'm living my dream. I used to hear people say, oh, the cost to be in the will of God. I was discovering what the cost was to be out of the will of God. Yes, I grew up in a Christian home, but even though I knew there was a God and believed in him, it wasn't until 1969 when Brother Copeland came and shared the word of God like I'd never heard before. That from that moment on, I wanted Jesus in my life, and I wanted to serve him for the rest of my life. I went to the service that night, that last night he was there, and like I said, heard the gospel like I'd never heard it before. But I didn't go forward, you know. I went to my shop the next day, and when I got there, I was under conviction, big time. And I remember the men that worked with me, I told them to go home. I said, why? I said, I don't know. Just go home. We're not working today. And I went into the shop area in a little small restroom, and I locked the door, and I sat in the floor of that restroom trying to find those scriptures that I heard Kenneth Copeland talk about the night before. And every time I'd read one, I'd say, God, is this real? And finally, I lifted my hands, and I said, Lord, I don't know why you would still want me. I've been running from you all my life. But if you still want me, here I am. And lifted up my hands, and I said, Jesus, be Lord of my life. So that was the day that Jesus became the Lord of my life. If you want life better than you ever dreamed, then invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life.
Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. Do you know what Jesus had in mind when he said those two words? He was talking covenant talk. He was talking about grace, a new family, a new authority, a new power. If you feel unworthy to receive the rich blessings God has for you today, think about that. Instead of worrying about and struggling with the needs in your life, you can walk boldly into your Father and receive help to get those needs met. Discover what it really means to be a child of God. Discover what it means to be born again.
Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. Living Victory Orlando Faith Encounter, Champions Gate, Florida, April 18th through 19th with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. Living Victory Las Vegas Faith Encounter, Henderson, Nevada, May 30th through 31st with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. The 2014 Peru Victory Campaign. Kenneth Copeland will be in Lima, Peru, June 6th through the 7th at the Eduardo Diwos Coliseum.
Especially this Friday. Friday's always offering day on Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And those that are, those of you that are regulars on this broadcast, you understand that when it said, let him that's taught in the word respond to him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Or you could say this, wherever a man sows is where his harvest comes from. So when you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. Well, he just got through explaining that in the fifth chapter. Now, when you sow to the Spirit, you reap life. When you sow to the Spirit that brought out the revelation and the teaching that you receive, then you release Zoe life. That is because Satan comes immediately to take out the word which was sown, and we've heard things the last 2 weeks that we ain't heard before. And we're going to take right now, Satan, we stand against you. You're not going to steal this word out of me. You're not going to steal this word out of anybody on this broadcast. We're not the 75% that turned the word loose when Jesus taught that. We are the 25% that received 100-fold. Glory to God. And we receive this revelation from heaven. We receive what happened around that cross because we're going to have to teach it and we're going to have to preach it. You're going to have to preach it at work. You're going to have to preach it at school. You're going to have to preach it everywhere you go because this is the big one. Ah, this is the big sweep. Glory to God. Amen. Ask the Lord. Inquire of the Lord, sir, what should I sow? How should I do this? I take the words you've sown into my life through Brother Copeland and Brother Renner. I receive it. I continue to learn it. I continue to walk in it. And I sow my seeds toward the life and take root in my spirit in Jesus' name. Oh, glory be to God. Now listen, I talked about this already last week and this week. If you missed any of these broadcasts, go to kcm.org. You can watch them or download them free. And go back over them. Go back over them. I mean, take that book, Rick's, and go back over and study, 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 study. This is just the beginning. This is not the end. Ooh, this thing's going. It's going to get bigger than heaven itself. We're there. Go to church this weekend. All next week, Gloria and Billy Brim are going to be on. Wow. Praise God. Amen. Teaching on the glory, Rick. See, that's where this is. This is all part of it. The glory. Being manifest. We'll see you. Have a good one. This is Kenneth and Rick reminding you again, Jesus is.